Welcome to another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz, Rob Owen with you. Rob from TV Talk, TV Q&A. Of course, me from the Sports Side Breakfast, the Benz. Rolling towards the holidays. We'll have at least one more podcast for you, either right before or right after the holidays. Rob, let's start off today, though, with the big news from the pop culture world, and that is the Golden Globe nominations. Any local ties here?
Yes, we have several happening this season. Rustin, filmed in Pittsburgh on Netflix, did not get a Best Drama nomination, but it did receive nominations for star Colman Domingo, which I sort of expected, and also for Lenny Kravitz's song from the film. That's probably the most prominent nomination, but also Daisy Jones and the Six, which was partially set in Pittsburgh a little bit, although it's not really a Pittsburgh story in a huge way. It received a limited series nomination as well as some acting nominations. HBO's The Last of Us, which was conceived by Neil Druckmann when he was a student at Carnegie Mellon University. The story for the video game was conceived at CMU. That received several nominations, including Best Drama for the Golden Globes. And The Holdovers, which stars Carnegie Mellon's current student Dominic Sessa, received a Best Musical Comedy nomination. Sessa himself didn't get nominated, but his co-stars Paul Giamatti and Divine Joy Randolph did receive nominations. The Globes this year, it's interesting. In the past, the show has aired on NBC, and then they had this whole ethical kerfluffle. Lost the deal with NBC. CBS picked it up in a one-year deal, so it will air on CBS at 8 p.m. January 7th. Some of the other top nominees, Oppenheimer, Barbie, and Succession in the TV realm got a lot of nominations.
I see one of the categories, and maybe this has always been the case and I've just never known, is Best Cinematic and Box Office Achievement. Does that just mean whoever made the most money in that?
Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on that, Tim, because
is this new?
I do not remember that one at all. I think that is new. And I was also sort of trying to figure out what that meant. I think it's kind of an award for whoever did the most to juice the box office at a time when people aren't going to the movies as much as they were pre-COVID. I do not recall that as a traditional nomination. Maybe it's been there before, but it jumped out at me.
That's like saying here's the MTV Movie Award for the Golden Globes. That's basically right. What that is saying.
Right. Basically, it does feel very much like an MTV Movie Awards category as opposed to a traditional Globes category. So I presume that goes to Barbie because it made the most money of all.
I would think, right?
On the list, unless they're going to parse it and be like, well, Oppenheimer was an unexpected hit, so it should get it. Or Taylor Swift's concert film.
That's where I was going next because that got nominated. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, good catch there, because that also made me raise an eyebrow, too.
Can Nicolas Cage please win for Dream Scenario just so we can have the acceptance speech?
Right. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, we'll see.
Did Joaquin Phoenix get nominated for two different ones?
I am not sure.
Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. I guess no, he's not in there for Napoleon.
No, just Bo is Afraid. That looks like the only nomination.
What's that about? I didn't even know about that movie.
I don't know. I'd never heard of it until fairly recently. I'm not sure.
I mean, I see Bradley Cooper's Maestro is getting good reviews. Have you seen it or do you know anything about it?
I haven't seen it yet. I have a screener here, but it has gotten good reviews. It comes out, it's in theaters on a limited basis now or soon, and then it comes out on Netflix the end of the month. So it'll be available to everyone with Netflix in the pretty near future.
I just wonder if it's, what was the name? Tar, right?
Oh,
was the
right.
With Cate Blanchett. Is it basically just that same movie, but with the male lead instead of a female lead?
I sort of think it's probably a little more straightforward. Tar was... that character was fairly twisted from what
yes.
I understand. And I'm not sure that this character is. This strikes me just, you know, having not seen it, but
more
read
of a
some
bio
about
movie.
It seems more like a biopic.
Okay.
More traditionally.
Anything else, Rob, that stands out to you, whether it's from the TV side or whether it's from the movie side or the streaming side, anything else that jumps out at you about the nominations?
Well, I did read that Succession broke the Golden Globe TV record with 9 nominations for its final season. And it was nominated in every category it was eligible for, including Best Drama Series. Then there are all the acting and supporting acting nominations that it received. Poor Nicholas Braun was the only main cast member not to receive a nomination today. But with all of these nominations it did receive, it eclipsed L.A. Law's 8 nominations in 1990 in its final season. So, Succession did quite well.
I was watching since you brought up L.A. Law, sorry, this is a complete sidebar, but I can't
get
a reference because I want to know how many people out there listening to the podcast also picked up on what they were doing last night on NBC. NBC last night during the Sunday Night Football game, it wasn't even really like an injury-related bit, but they bounced back from commercial with like a funny animated graphic where like Jalen Hurts, the quarterback for the Eagles, was in a hospital gown or like in an operating room or something like that. And the coach, Nick Sirianni, had like the old school doctor thing on his head and had a lab coat on. They're doing some sort of hospital-related analogy in this graphic, right? And the music they played in the background was the St. Elsewhere music.
Oh, really?
And that hit me right away. It took me back to, 1983 when St. Elsewhere, was big.
Right.
I started thinking to myself, how many people watching this football game right now actually get that reference?
Wow.
Actually get that music?
See, I would have guessed they would have gone with the ER theme. That's really interesting that they chose St. Elsewhere.
And St. Elsewhere was supposedly either New York or Boston. It wasn't Philadelphia,
Boston.
Was it? Yeah, it was Boston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. So that came out of nowhere. Now there's a Monk movie on Peacock. Is that right?
Yes, it started streaming last week. Mr. Monk's last case, of course, in Success, I'm sure it won't be his last case. But this is based on the early 2000s series that was on USA Network and starred Tony Shalhoub. He's back as Monk. Most of the supporting cast, save for Biddy Schramm, are back in this new Monk movie. I think, if you enjoyed Monk, you will probably enjoy the Monk movie. It's a little darker than what I remember the series being, but the timing of it is interesting because we also learned Friday that USA Network is going to revisit that whole Blue Sky era of shows that were kind of a lark, Monk, Burn Notice. They weren't dark shows. They were a little more optimistic, a little more pat and predictable, a little more procedurally. But that did well for them back then. And honestly, that is kind of what's working on broadcast now. So USA is going to get back into the original series game with these Blue Sky series. So one could imagine that a series of Monk movies could be a part of that formula, if that is indeed what they re-embrace again.
You know what show they're absolutely pumping to death on TV broadcasts, especially during football games, is the new John Cryer show.
Oh, Extended Family. Yes.
Yes. Have you seen any of that yet? Is that worth checking out? Because it is getting promoted like crazy.
It's bad. It's really bad. It's really bad. So the reason they're pumping it is because they're doing this very, very odd thing. And they are airing the first episode on December 23rd, a Saturday night before Christmas. Who is going to be watching TV on December 23rd? I don't know.
Maybe. I wonder, is that because they're doing a lot of football games? Because they're doing a lot of the football games on the 23rd.
Well, like
the Steelers are. I know that.
Maybe that's it. It doesn't make any sense otherwise. It's not unusual now to premiere the first episode and then wait a month for the rest. Abbott Elementary premiered that way. But just the Saturday before Christmas, my only thinking is that their thinking is that, well, by then holiday parties are done, more people will be home. That was my only thought. But it's going to Extended Family with John Cryer will air after a new holiday episode. Actually, I think it airs before a new holiday episode of Night Court. Extended Family, it's not good. At least the pilot wasn't. Maybe it'll get better in series. Donald Faison's also in it, and I always like him. But yeah, not great.
What about holiday movies? Wonka, what's Godzilla Minus One?
Oh, Godzilla Minus One. I know we talked about
Godzilla recently, but what's Godzilla Minus One?
So we talked about the Godzilla series on Apple TV Plus, but Godzilla Minus One, they had these posters. I was actually at the movies this weekend and they had these posters. So I
show me that again. I had the rundown up. Hold it up higher.
Godzilla Minus One is a Toho production. So this is the original company that made Godzilla, the Japanese company. And so you have sort of two strands of Godzilla existing simultaneously now. You've got the American strand with the American-made Godzilla movies and that Apple TV Plus series we talked about. That's all the American strand. Now there's also the Japanese strand, and Godzilla Minus One is part of that. Interestingly, Godzilla Minus One has gotten amazing reviews. It has done the best at the box office of any, certainly of any Japanese Godzilla movie ever before that has opened in America, and perhaps of any Japanese movie period. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's done really well. But the reviews also have been very strong. So I have a son who is 13 and is very much into Godzilla. So I think that, along with Wonka, will be on our list to watch over the holidays, maybe that week between Christmas and New Year's. What about you, Tim? Is there anything coming out you're interested in?
Not really, because I don't see a lot of time over the holidays usually to get to movies. I'll take Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off because of the way the NFL schedule lines up. But really, my schedule doesn't break all that much during the holidays because football, basketball, and hockey don't break. So I still got a lot of work to do. I was curious. You said you saw Saltburn. What's Saltburn?
Yes, Saltburn is very weird. This is the screener disc that because I'm in Critics' Choice, I get a bunch of screener discs. It's a film by Emerald Fennell, who is a British writer. She worked on one of the seasons of the what was that, Sandra? Killing Eve. She worked on one of the seasons of that. It's very much Talented Mr. Ripley is sort of how I would describe it, but with some real shocks embedded in it, some things that you're like, whoa, I've never seen that in a movie before. I would say that if you don't like to be shocked, you probably won't enjoy this one that much. I actually found it pretty gripping, and it held my attention better than I thought it would. It stars Jacob Elordi from Euphoria and Barry Keoghan, who is a British actor, and it's basically the story of these two friends at school and that relationship, and to give you a whole lot more would spoil it. So I will just say it is a twisty quasi-thriller drama, I guess.
You know, the most recent Steeler game, Rob, for all of its problems, meaning the game itself and the loss to the Patriots on Thursday night, was yinzered up beyond belief. I don't know if you were aware of this from a pop culture aspect. Styx did the national anthem. Ming Na Wen came out and did the terrible towel twirl. And Steve Byrne got out there and did the throw the footballs into the Dr. Pepper can at halftime.
Oh, wow. I knew Ming Na was going to be there because one of our colleagues wrote a story about her being at a convention in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think it was Comic-Con. Steve Byrne was there with Peter Billingsley, Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
So the story on that is the Steve Byrne sitcom, Sullivan and Son, that was on TBS. Peter Billingsley was one of the executive producers of that show. So they are
with Vince Vaughn. Yes, right.
Yes. Yeah. So the three of those guys have been friends for quite some time. So that's it. It's both surprising and unsurprising that Ralphie would be at the Steelers game.
He was on with Steve Byrne on, what was it, Friday morning on DVE, and it was very good. Like all the stories behind the scenes stuff of A Christmas Story and all the stuff with the reboots of A Christmas Story and recreating the house in Cleveland and wherever they were. I think they were overseas when they did it.
I think it was Romania, Bulgaria,
something like that. Yeah. It was nutty, but that he had some great stories about all that. So yeah, if you want to check out the podcast, they're still up. Anything else, Rob, before we go? What do we have for TV Talking TV Q&A?
So yesterday in the Sunday print edition, I had gift ideas for TV fans that'll post online tomorrow. So if you've got folks who are into Downton Abbey or the old Alf show or the animated Avatar or Bluey or Wheel of Fortune or Gilmore Girls or Farscape, I've got lots of suggestions for you. Even Stranger Things ice cream for sale at Walmart.
Well, you can buy Stranger Things ice cream
at Walmart exclusively. Yes. Yes.
And when you say pizzas. Gilmore Girls, what does Lauren Graham come to your house and give you like a in-person greeting or something?
No, there is a new Gilmore Girls storybook. So like for very young kids. So if you're a mom who's planning to watch Gilmore Girls when your kid turns 13, but you want to prep them for it, there is now a storybook that you can buy and read them that sort of tells you the story, the basic premise of the series before they're ready for the show. So that was in print yesterday. We'll post online tomorrow. Additionally, for later this week, we've got the top my favorite shows of 2023 in TV talk and then in TV Q&A. What happened to Mary Hours? Is she still with KDKA? Or perhaps did she switch shifts? We'll find out.
Intrigue indeed. All right. And meanwhile, Breakfast Benz, we got a full week this week before we get into the holidays. Might have some adjustments to the schedule because of the Saturday game. In fact, I expect that we will. Some of our coverage on Monday might actually be on Sunday because the game is on Saturday. And then we'll dance around the holiday scheduling as needed. Today, by the way, everybody, a reminder, because the game is on Saturday, Mike Tomlin's press conference is today. So look for Joe Rutter's work after the press conference and my podcast with Joe after the press conference today, as opposed to Tuesday. And I'll tweet all that out as well. This is Pittsburgh Pop with Tim Benz and Rob Owen.